And now I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life-giving love and love-giving life. Spirit of a foggy, thick, foggy January morning, when life we see through a mist, when so normally on a January morning with the foliage gone from the trees, we see things so much more clearly. This morning reminds us that things don't always come so clear. Let us learn patience and to abide the times that come with less clarity, times when we struggle with health, struggle with addictions, struggle with life's issues, holding out the hope and the anticipation that we will survive the fog to yet again see clearly to the life of intention that we call ourselves to live. We ask for whatever help might be existent in the universe to abet us in this endeavor as we set our sights on the next step of our journeys. Let us hold this moment together in quiet. Grateful for such precious moments as these, we give thanks. Amen.
Our first reading is an excerpt from the prophet by Khalil Gibran. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires: to melt and to be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night, to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully, to wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving, to rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy, to return home at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise on your lips. Our second reading is the poem "It Happens All the Time in Heaven," written by the Sufi poet Hafiz and translated by Daniel Ledinsky. It happens all the time in heaven, and someday it will begin to happen again on earth, that men and women who are married, and men who are lovers, and women who give each other light, often will get down on their knees, and while so tenderly holding their lover's hand, with tears in their eyes, will sincerely speak, saying, "My dear, how can I be more loving to you? How can I be more kind?"
So, in anticipating my sermon topic for this morning, I was oh so aware that today would be the eve of my departure, which will occur very early tomorrow morning, my departure for the wedding of my youngest daughter, Shayna. The ceremony will take place next week in Belize, so I suppose I have to go. I would just say, in her defense, that they looked around the San Francisco area for 6 months and could find nothing less than just a place to hold a reception for $10,000. So going to Belize is really a savings. I will be co-officiating the nuptial rites with my friend and colleague, Jim Vanderweel, who is our minister at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Community Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Jim also happens to be the father of my soon-to-be son-in-law, Alex Vanderweel. It's a very small and often wonderful world that we live in. So those of you who may have read my December column in our newsletter, The Gazette, know that Shana will be joined by her sister Laura and her brother Will, as all three of the Ortman children will come to be married over the course of the next 6 months. That's a lot of weddings and a whole lot of love to celebrate. So I thought that for this matrimonial threshold day, I would like to think about and to speak about the topic of love. Some of you know that I was an at-home dad for the first several years of our children's lives, and I have to tell you, there is no experience, certainly no experience in my lifetime, like being an at-home parent. This observation comes quite without judgment about those who need or choose to do otherwise. It is merely a statement of appreciation for the opportunity and the privilege that I had of being there to fall in love with my children at a very early age and then getting to spend all that time being with them in love every day until they went off to school. I'm not saying that it wasn't just as crazy in our home as it is in anyone else's, but it was our crazy, and I love being in it with our kids as a major part of my everyday experience. And then I got to be a participant observer as over the years they grew and learned and pursued their own ways of being in the world. These little beings, each of whom I once literally held in the palm of just one hand, each of them found their journey, developed into remarkable human beings, remarkable young adults. Each of them has been blessed to find careers and ways of being in the world that allows them to serve the larger good as well as to know how to have a darn good time while they're doing it. Our family is very good at partying. Each of them has been blessed to have their hearts open to the possibility of love, and each of them has been blessed by having found a life partner with whom to share that love. And I've got to tell you that my heart is filled with amazement and joy and gratitude. I can also assure you that I'm quite certain that I've done nothing to merit such a blessing that these three children have bestowed upon me. You can't earn good fortune, I'm sure of that. But you can surely be blessed by it. We have a number of friends, my wife Judy and I, and I know a number of people who've raised their children every bit as lovingly as we did, and yet who had very different outcomes. Judy and I have surely been blessed, and as we begin this season of nuptials, both of our hearts are filled to brimming with the life that has been our family's life and now opens to the birth of the family and the families we are becoming. From birth to birth to birth, it's a matter of the heart. It's interesting that the heart is the metaphor that we use in relating to those elements and connections that are most elemental in our lives. It makes sense. It's the heart that is the organ which functions most fundamentally in holding us on this side of the line that divides living from not living. It's not that the other organs aren't important, they are. It's just that they're not as vital in keeping this clay that we are animated. We breathe in the air of life, breathe in the spirit of life through the inhalation of our lungs. The heart gathers in all of the tired blood from our bodies and pumps it into our lungs where the fresh oxygen is just waiting to revitalize it. The heart actually pushes it through the lungs so that it can absorb the oxygen that's there. And then our heart gathers that revitalized blood and pushes it back out through our bodies where it reinvigorates the cells and the tissues of all the other organs, where it delivers the ongoing blessings of life that are delivered by way of our breath. And this exchange that's administered is done so by our hearts, our hearts where we are delivered the ongoing blessings of life that arrive through our breath. It really is a phenomenal miracle. Science might be able to explain how this happens, but it cannot explain why. And that's what makes it a miracle. The heart is the actual site where this miracle of air coming into us becomes the life that flows through our body. The heart is the place where that miracle occurs. Two of our Unitarian theological forebearers were so caught up in this biological, miraculous process that they devoted much of their professional lives to exploring and illustrating this process by which we are inspirited with life. In the mid-16th century, Michael Servetus illustrated books with his renderings of the heart and lungs, the major components of the cardiovascular system. And then 200 years later, so we go from 1550 to 1780s, Joseph Priestley, who went on to become a Unitarian minister in our congregation down in Philadelphia, Joseph Priestley was credited with the discovery and the identification of that process by which our blood becomes oxygenated. I don't know about you, but I find that to be terribly exciting. It is here in the sacred chamber of the heart that the gift of life is exchanged. It's here in the sacred chambers of the heart where we become spiritually and physically one. Our lives are very much a matter of the heart. So in the beginning, it is the spirit in the breath where we are primarily connected to life. And then through that gift of the universe, another gift is made possible, and that is the possibility of making and finding meaning in our lives. We might identify love as that which gives our lives meaning. Breath gives us life. Love gives us meaning. Love is what connects us beyond the physical. It's what connects us spiritually and emotionally to the world around us and to the people and to the events of our lives. And so it is the heart, the very birthplace of life, that we ascribe as our primary metaphor of the organ where not just blood, but love is created and pumped through our being. When we say that someone or something is pulling at our heartstrings, we're making a statement of life-size proportion. We're talking about the kinds of connections that are closely associated with life and death. We're talking about the kinds of connections that are capable of freeing us from who or what we have been and allowing us to grow into what we are becoming. In the poem we heard a few minutes ago by Hafiz that Nick read, the poet talks of love as drawing us out of ourselves and into the world of someone else. How can I be more loving to you, he asks. How can I be more kind? How can we be born and reborn again in love? How can we move from the isolation of one to participation in the many? How do we make that first step? In another poem, It Felt Love, Hafiz speaks of that elemental first step into love, the transformational step, not from aloneness, but from loneliness into connection. It felt love. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Just as we are required by life to draw air into our bodies, we are required to touch and to be touched by the light that comes into our lives through others if we are to be spiritually connected to them. That's what gives our life meaning. It's what moves our lives from drudgery to beauty. We are required by life to both breathe and to love. It is there, deep in the chambers of our hearts, where the gift of our breath is redeemed by the practice of our love. It is through that practice that we step from the darkness of our fears into the light of our promise and into the light of our beauty. I spoke earlier of my love for my children and how joy-filled I am that each of them have found someone to love, to share their lives with. And I have to confess that for me, loving my children has been something akin to harvesting very low-hanging fruit. That's not to say that it hasn't or hasn't sometimes, at least, been tremendously challenging. There have been and are challenges. It is to say, though, that even with the challenges, loving them is really something that's quite natural for me, almost as natural as breathing. And while this kind of parent-child love may come naturally to many of us, I know that it is not a universal experience and not one that we all share. Some folks struggle mightily, even mortally, within that relationship. And yet I imagine that for most, if not all of us, I suspect this to be true, that there are some kinds of low-lying fruit hanging on the tree of love just waiting for us, whatever they might be. And the point is, that which comes to us more easily is an unearned gift which should hardly be taken for granted, but whose full value perhaps we've not yet redeemed. Maybe a greater redemption occurs as we learn to love from that which comes easiest to that which comes with the greatest challenge, as we learn to love in ever greater circles of connection. Bell Hooks is an author. Are some of you familiar with Bell Hooks? She's an African-American woman who has written much and well on the diagnosis of our cultural ailments of racism and sexism. And Ralph Waldo Emerson once quipped that diagnosis is of little value without a prescription for correction. And so Bell Hooks prescribes by pointing out how these shortcomings might be addressed and outgrown. She does it in many ways, but one most poignant to this topic is not surprisingly about love. And she describes it as a process that unfolds in a direction that moves us from the one to the many. Bell Hooks wrote, "The moment we choose to love, we begin to move against domination and against oppression. The moment we choose to love, we begin to move towards freedom, to act in ways that liberate ourselves and liberate others." So often we are encouraged to think that love is something that's sweet and nice and very personal. Love can be sweet, but I think only in its fullest bloom, not so much in the bud. The unfolding from bud to blossom is often far from sweet as we move from the very familiar out into the realms where we must learn to dare to love. And why must we dare? The answer, I think, really is in every breath that we take. It may seem preposterous, but the truth is that in the very next breath you take in this moment, in this room, you will take into your lungs some of the very same molecules that were in the air that was breathed by Julius Caesar, by Jesus Christ, and by the Buddha. You'll take in some of the very same molecules as were in the air that was breathed by Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. Chances are good, even though it was more recent, that you will also include molecules of the air that was breathed by Adolf Hitler. I don't want to labor the point with details of mathematics and physics that would prove this. Instead, I would just ask you to accept this data as I have and to look towards where it points. We are intricately connected, spiritually and physically, with every being that has ever lived on this planet and with the planet itself. We are connected through no choice of our own by the process which gives oxygen to our blood, which gives life to our bodies. And for good or for ill, we are left to fulfill the process by making real the connections which bind us each to all on an emotional and a spiritual level through love or in omission by its absence. We are left to make the spiritual and the emotional connections that can provide meaning to our lives. The physical connections are already there. We are the ones, though, who can redeem those physical connections by becoming one with them, both emotionally and spiritually. From birth to birth to birth, our lives are a matter of the heart. Often when I'm performing weddings near the end of the ceremony, I offer a prayer, and in that prayer, I call to mind the purpose of why we've gathered together for the acknowledgement and the celebration of love. And then I ask the people who've attended to allow that celebration of love to touch and move their hearts so that we're not just together at the wedding ceremony for something that occurs there, but so that once our hearts have been touched and moved by that celebration of love, we might go back out into the world having been transformed by the experience of the celebration itself, and that we might then take that love into the world and offer more love to the world than was there before the ceremony, than was there before we had done what we came to do. And so may each of us here then be touched and moved by the spirit of love that we have come today at least to explore, and I'll hope you celebrate it, so that as we go back out into the world after this gathering, we too might be changed by it, so that we too might be agents of change, agents of love in a world that is so much in need of transformation. And the reason why is because it's a matter of the heart. Our heart. Franklin Jones wrote, "Love doesn't make the world go round. Love is what makes the ride worthwhile." So may the prayers of our hearts and the songs of our lips shared in this holy hour of worship be with us now and in our days to come. As we extinguish our chalice, this worship comes to an end and our service begins in love. Blessed be and amen.